Again, for the sake of our visitors, you may hear references or overhear as our people are talking. Blaine, Pennsylvania is in south central Pennsylvania, a very small town. There's a church down there, Manasseh Community Baptist Church, and they had a week of special meetings. A lot of our folks have a connection with the church. The pastor and a lot of his people come up in June to Black Creek's youth meeting, week of meetings, and they come up and visit here. And so this past week, there was a great number of our folks who went down for those meetings. And so if you hear references to that, or like I said, over here, references, that's what they would be referring to. Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says that he thanked God for the fellowship of the Philippians. And I thought about Black Creek Baptist Church, my church family. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5 fits my feelings. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He makes an instructional statement in this. Allow me to pose a few questions, if I could, please, for your consideration. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Brother Carl Holmes if you'll ask God to lead us.
Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for the privilege of attending a church here that I know that we're going to hear your words through your preacher, because I have complete confidence that he's in tune with you, and I so appreciate that. I also want to thank you to attend a church that no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, there's always something to gain from each and every service that they have. I pray if there's anyone here now that is searching for you, that maybe today would be the day of their salvation.
Amen.
And we'll give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Allow me, as I said, to pose a few questions. Number one, what is fellowship? The dictionary says, amongst several things, that it is a mutual sharing as of an experience, an activity, or an interest. It also says it could be considered a partnership through that joint interest. And Paul says, for your fellowship. Very simply put, Christian fellowship is the oneness that we have with another person or persons and through interaction with Jesus Christ. Fellowship is more than a social event. Now I know we frequently will say there's going to be a fellowship gathering in the basement. There'll be some refreshments that'll be provided. And we're going down there, we're going to fellowship together. Some people will fellowship because of their common interest in Jesus Christ, and not just that they talk Christian matters, but they have a oneness in Christ. And therefore, even though they're sitting there and just chatting, similar to what somebody else at that table would be chatting, some are going to have fellowship. Most people will just have a good social event. And there's nothing wrong with a social event. It serves a purpose. I guess it's one of my idiosyncrasies, one of my things that I like to deal with, and that is the difference between fellowship and a social event. I myself use them and interchange the terms, okay? But he's talking, he is talking about their fellowship, their partnership in the gospel. From the very first time he met them, and you'd have to go to the book of Acts and read Paul's journeys in the book of Acts and find when he first was there and met them. Now he says, for your fellowship in the gospel. So what is the gospel? Well, you know that he identified that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. No, excuse me, 2nd. No, it is 1 Corinthians. Can't even read my own notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he talks, how I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, verse 3, 15:3, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. And so this is the gospel. Verse 1, he says, I declared unto you the gospel. He's talking there to the Corinthian believers. And so Paul identifies the gospel as the thing that bound them together. Now look, some of you do things together. You share common interests. It may be cars. It may be hunting. It may be fishing. There's different things that you may like to do. The ladies, it could be cooking and baking or sewing. But that's not what Paul's talking about, the common interests, okay? He had, I'm sure, common interests of an earthly or human nature with the people that he met as he traveled. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. That can be enjoyable. But those kind of common interests you can have with an unsaved co-worker or a neighbor. Paul is talking about a fellowship, a partnership because of the gospel.
Amen.
Okay, now it's through the gospel in that that is our concern, that others would hear the gospel, but that's where the fellowship takes place. The gospel, you know, is a life-changing message about Jesus Christ. When you hear that, again, just like the term born again just gets bantied about so much, mm-hmm. so the term gospel mm-hmm. can get bantied about, and people can hear it, and they hear that, okay? And they have some kind of an understanding about what it means to be born again and about the gospel, but it's getting from here to, as I heard a testimony recently, to the 18 inches down to the heart. Okay, I think it was Allie Gilbert gave that testimony. And that there is a difference, okay? And that's what Paul is talking about when he thought about and wrote this letter to the people at the city of Philippi. Of course, their name is that of being Philippians. And we, of course, when we say Philippians, we think about this book of the Bible. No, that was some people. Okay. If he were writing today and writing here, he'd call us, it would be a letter to the Black Creek Church. Amen. Okay. And we'd be called Black Creekians. Okay. Or, I don't know, maybe another way of saying it. But Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. As he went about in his journeys, into different towns and areas. And we only know the towns that God records for us in the book of Acts, where he went. But there were, you know, between this town and this town, there were other places. And we have very confidence that where, as he traveled and he would stop, okay, he would tell people again about Jesus Christ. And the reaction at some places was not good. Okay, he got harassed. He got persecuted. There's a difference between harassment and persecution. Right. When people today say, well, I was persecuted. No, you were probably just harassed. Okay. You don't bear any marks in your body, any wounds. Okay, you didn't get beat up by your buddies at work. They just harassed you. And that's unpleasant, all right? It's not nice, but it's not the same as persecution.
That's right.
And so Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So wherever he traveled, he would tell people about Jesus, and he would get harassed at least. And well, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
He was gonna proclaim it. He wasn't out there to win a personality contest.
Amen.
It did not matter to him that people at the Tent Makers Association, that was his occupation, you know, he was a tent maker, but he didn't care that there were other tent makers. Oh, I see Paul got in town. He's always preaching to us. Probably going to tell us about that gospel again. And of course, if they were fellow Jews, there was some extra animosity because of what Paul was saying and what their Judaism had taught them. But he was not ashamed of the gospel because it was the power of God.
Amen.
To salvation. We don't know how it works. That gospel song, I know not how what is that? I know not
how the Spirit moves.
That's it. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sins. It's through the Word, through the Scriptures. And we cannot understand it. We cannot always explain it. We can describe what happened to us, and that gives a little bit of an understanding about how God uses the gospel. That's why when you hear testimonies, I'll hear testimonies given here, or like we heard testimonies at those special meetings at Manasseh Community Baptist Church. And when somebody started into a testimony, if not every time, it was so close that I can use the term every time, I would pray, Lord, and then I'd call somebody's name. Somebody for whom I'm praying that was at the meetings. I'd call their name and I'd say, Lord, is this something, will she say or will he say something that's going to help them.
Amen.
To be able to find tonight the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And why? Because the gospel works. And and so when we say, what is the gospel? Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away, and all things are become new. All things are become new. Well, now that sounds good, and it's true. Okay, it sounds good, and it's true. But it says there all things become new. You know what? When I got saved, I was given that verse, and I believe it because God says it. But I didn't always experience that.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Old things are passed away. No, not all of them were.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I struggled to overcome some of the old things. Now listen, my experience doesn't change what that verse says.
That's right.
That verse says I became a new man. So when you're going to think about that sort of thing and you come to a verse like that where it tells you something and you say, well, that ain't what I know about. Remember, that one verse is not the total picture.
Yep.
Of that subject.
Right.
Turn to Colossians. We're in Philippians, one book back, just a page, two maybe in your Bible. We'll come to Colossians. I want you to see Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, it says in verse 1, Colossians 2, 1, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. Now, usually we only hear about Laodicea when we do the seven churches in Revelation, and the Laodicean church was not a good one, okay? We don't speak about the Laodicean church with happiness. It's with sadness. But in this case, Paul was communicating with them. He was writing to them. They not only got in the book of Revelation, they got in the book of Colossians, because that's what God wanted to tell us. He said, I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. How he felt about that, how he interacted with them, he described as a conflict. Now That's not used in a negative sense, but a descriptive sense of what was going on in his life. There's times where you and I may have conflict within us, and it's not necessarily a negative thing. You have to evaluate it and determine if it's a negative thing or is this just an expression of what's happening. I will frequently use the term anxiety. And I'll say, Lord, I've got a bit of anxiety today. Right, 9 o'clock, I'm sitting with my new cup with a lip. I'm sitting and having coffee and one of these Nutter Butter cookies. Boy, I like them. How many of you like Nutter Butter cookies? Yeah, they're mine. When you turn 80, if I'm here, I'll get you a pack.
Nice.
But I'm going to have to remember. You know, I did that when I was down there. I had the opportunity to preach when I was at Blaine, and I quoted a man from, oh my goodness, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, I quoted a man in his name. I said, now if anybody remembers that, I'll give you $50, because the name meant nothing. It was out of my history and my past. And then I fortunately covered myself, and I said, well, you know, I don't know, you know, about that 50, you know. And so, but then Pastor came up to me near the end of the meetings. I left Thursday night after the service, and he came up on Thursday, and he said, listen, I've got 50 here. See if anybody remembers it. And Tiffany Beale remembered it. I saw a few other hands, but, you know, you only spot one. And she got 50. She remembered the name, Dr. Paul Petticord. I was blown away. Okay. And I was also blown away by our pastor's generosity. Now, many of you know that it's not anything unusual. But nevertheless, now, where was I?
Anxiety.
Anxiety. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Did she get 50?
No, but I give her the Oreo, not the Nutter Butter.
Do you know what the definition is?
Of anxiety?
Uh-huh.
Let me hear you.
Okay. An unreasonable fear for imminent danger that does not exist.
Okay. Anxiety. An unreasonable fear for something that doesn't exist.
Amen.
True. And I'll be sitting there in my rocking chair in my office, and I'll say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I feel anxious. I just have a little bit of anxiety feeling in me. I think that's how perhaps Paul used the word conflict.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's
something
good.
Wasn't connecting within him about them, and he may have known what it was. You say, well, it was Paul, he probably knew. Listen, Paul was just like you and I.
Right.
He put his robe on the same way you and I would put our robe on. You can't say pants, he wore them. Trousers, okay. And so, but nevertheless, he says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of the understanding and knowledge, acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of the wisdom and the knowledge. He wanted their hearts knit together. We're talking about fellowship. And that's what fellowship does. It knits our heart together. When I came here, and my wife, Pat, and for those, again, visitors, she went to be with the Lord in August. And so when we came here, we only knew a couple people. We knew a few that had attended. I resigned as pastor at Grace Bible Independent Baptist Church in Shingle House, Pennsylvania. That's where the Fords live. And so when we resigned, and we looked for a church, and Pastor sent us a letter of invitation to come. And we came, and obviously this is where we believe the Lord led us. But listen, other than those few people that came to our Reformers Unanimous group, we didn't know anybody. You were just strangers to us. But little by little, first of all, if you ever are a visitor church, you need to make yourself available to people. Mm-hmm. And if you make yourself available to people, if you go to people and greet them and speak to them. Now listen, some people don't know how to handle this sort of thing. And so they may not respond the way you would expect or would like them to. It may take longer for them to be knit together with you. So if you're a visitor ever at a church, be outgoing and be patient. You want to let God build your relationships. You see, when you go someplace, you may look around and for whatever reason, you may, you know, hone in on the person. Boy, I think I'd like to get to know them. But God may want you to get to know this person over here. Because God wants to use you in the life of the church the same way he wants to use the people in the church in your life. Don't rush God. Take your time. You're not going to the church for people. You're going to the church for God, to worship God and to sing praises to him. But he wants us to be knit together.
Amen.
But that takes time. The relationship I have now with various people in this church is so much more than the first day we walked in the doors of the church. But God is faithful because he wants... He wants your heart to be comforted in whatever stress you may be experiencing. Oh, man, there's so much. You know, years ago, you didn't hear about stress. That just was not a term that was used, okay? I don't know what terms were used to describe it, but it wasn't stress. And I hear about, oh, I'm so stressed out. I can't believe the stress I'm living with. And I think to myself, just deal with it, will you? Just get hold of yourself. The world isn't going to end over what you're dealing with today. Probably 2 months from now, it'll be past, and you won't be talking like you are now. And I have stress. Sure, I have stress. But I have a Father in heaven.
Amen.
I forget, I've been doing a lot of out loud praying. I learned that from my wife. When she was living, she'd be upstairs in her, what we called her, you know, hear about a man cave, okay? Well, she had a woman cave. And she'd be up there. And the first few times I heard her talking. I thought, well, we have a phone up there. She's probably on the phone. And after a while, I thought, she couldn't be on the phone that long. I mean, all of our kids are working, and therefore, if they're working, she can't be talking to them. She could talk to them for an hour or more, okay, on the phone. People say, finally got through this. They had a busy signal for an hour. I said, yeah, my wife was talking with whoever, okay. But I'd hear her talking. And I remember the first time I went to the bottom of the steps, I said, are you all right? I hear you talking. She said, I'm just talking to my Father. And I've been doing an unusual amount of out loud praying. Mm-hmm. One of the practical reasons she said she liked to pray like that is it helped her to concentrate. Her mind would wander less when she prayed out loud. So I'm coming to church and I'm talking to my Father and I just said, God, I don't know. How to deal with this, I'm not sure what, and I don't remember what it was. Obviously, it was very significant, huh? I don't remember what it was. But I said, you know God, and I can't talk, that's what it was. I said, I can't talk to Pat about it, because she's not here anymore. Now, he knows that. Okay, I'm just expressing myself. You know, you can express yourself to God. Just talk to God like you would talk to your husband, your wife, or a good friend. Don't try and I know sometimes when we're praying in public, we'll use what I refer to as prayer language. And that's appropriate at times for where it is we're talking. Our Father which art in heaven, thou art holy and gracious. We're so pleased that we can come before you and seek from you what it is we have need of. Now, you can pray that privately, okay? But that is a good expression when you're leading in public prayer because of all that it says okay? So I'm not putting that down. Anyway, talk to God, and I said, Father, Pat's not here. I can't run that by her. It was something I was going to buy, I think. I said, and I can't run that by her, so, but have you? And you just heard me about it, so I'm going to depend on you to lead me in knowing what to do for that. I hope I remember it okay. But and we can. You can talk to God like that, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Down at the special meetings of when we, the big lodge building that I happened to stay in, there were a couple girls and they were knitting. Okay? They just take this one long piece of string, and, you know, from a ball, and they would, with their two, you know, they knit it together. And now that they get it together, okay? They knit this thing together. It started out a long string. In the one case, it was tangled because of how it was open. And therefore, that had to be untangled in order to knit it together. Oh, isn't that a good explanation?
Yeah.
You come in here and you have all sorts of things in your life. It's a tangled mess.
Right, yeah.
And God needs to pull them apart, untangle it. But once he gets it untangled, it's so that he can knit you together with others. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
That had to be from him. Okay? Because anything I thought of is already in the notes. And therefore, it had to be something that he put together. It's out of Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Being knit together in love. One of the things about my wife, she's, again, for the sake of visitors, because she died just 3 months ago, a lot of things that I think of, she is an illustration of. I have actually asked God to help me to know when to get through that and over that, okay? Because there are other things that can be used to illustrate, but that's what's on my mind now, okay? And therefore, but nevertheless, being knit together in love. My wife used two terms precisely. The term like was different than the term love. Paul said he wanted them to be knit together in love. Now, you can like somebody very much, but you may not accurately describe it as loving them. Like fellowship and socializing, we interchange them. A lot of people interchange the term like and love, but there's a difference. And a lot of that depends on if your hearts have been knit together unto all the riches of the full assurance of knowledge, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. Our hearts knit together in love. And I remember how God went about doing that. You learn things of me. I learn things of you. We both learn things together from the scriptures and the understanding. Listen, you can't be knit together and love someone that's a stranger.
That's right.
Okay, you can like them for their personality, for their winsome ways and what have you, but you can't be knit together. You've got to get to know each other. That means you've got to be able to open up and share. Doesn't mean you need to share all of your deep, dark secrets. That you only do with a truly friend, a true friend, somebody that have that kind of relationship. Don't spill your guts about everything to everybody. Okay, that's just not a benefit. All right, now that's over. Now, so being knit together in love and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. You know, what comes to my mind there is Charity over here. She and my wife had a very good relationship. And they truly loved each other. Now, my wife called her precious, and a video that she made of a visit that I asked her to make to Pat in the hospital. It's a short video, probably only 6-7 seconds long, but in it, she called her precious. And that sparked a curiosity. They would interact on Facebook. Everybody knows, you know, Facebook's the place to go. Well, to my housebound wife, it was her connection to her friends and the outside world, because she wasn't able to get to it. Anyway, she and Charity would message each other and talk about whatever. And so I wondered, when did Pat start calling her precious? So I scrolled all the way back through to November of 2018. Now, those of you that use it know that's a lot of scrolling. But all along the way, I didn't read every post they sent to each other, but all along the way, I could see my wife called Charity precious. Go back another few months, still calling her precious. Back another few. It was in November of 2018 that I read the first
Glory to God.
To her as being precious. And now that relationship didn't happen all at once. That didn't happen the first time they saw each other. I like your dress. Really responsive instinct there. But anyway, that didn't happen. It took time to build that. And it was precious to me. And I asked her, I said, I might continue to use that term, because I saw how Charity and my wife interacted with each other, okay? That was precious to me, to see that between them. And now the help that she is to me. You know my birthday's going to be tomorrow. I've got to wrap it up with this. My birthday's going to be tomorrow. And my wife, when we were first married 62 years, when we were first married, she loved to bake. Everything had to be by scratch. Well, yeah, everything was scratch. And so but she could not get a chocolate cake that was quite what I wanted. I can eat any chocolate cake. But she kept trying. She finally found Black Joe chocolate cake. That's the name of it. And it has a cup and a half of coffee in it. And so I gave that recipe to Charity, and I asked her if she would make that. Now, it tasted just like my wife's.
Amen.
Now, if I couldn't, and I couldn't say that about just anybody, because you ladies know, you know, there's just certain things. And so if I had said that about just anybody, it wouldn't have flown, okay? But I could say it about Charity.
Amen.
Why? Because they had their hearts knit together.
Amen.
In love.
Amen.
Now, this is how it works. This is how it happens. You say, why did it take all that time? Because you're not going to get your hearts knit together in love with other people in this church family unless you are open to them and responsive to them and let God pick who.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
I don't know how they first connect. When they first did, but they did. And I'm grateful and thankful that they did. And you can have similar experience in your life, but you have to open up. Okay? Now that doesn't mean the first time you meet them, you open up. But I only got through one page of five. Whew. We might just use more of that on Wednesday night, but we'll see what the Lord says. But anyway, There you go. The fellowship in the gospel, the goal that our hearts would be knit together in love. Father in heaven, thank you. Now, Father, you know that this whole lesson went in a altogether different direction than I anticipated.
But, Lord,